24 years old. I've been flying since I'm 16, or 15 actually. And I started with paramotor and then got interested in paragliding after a while, after like 1 year or something. So now I'm flying paragliding cross-country, I'm flying acro in paragliding, and I'm flying acro, paramotor, and long distance. I'm trying to play with all the tools we've got. So I'm involved into acro with paragliding now, because I just really like it.
And what level are you at in acro?
Well, it's pretty good. It's not... I'm learning very fast. That's the good thing. I just came back from Pokhara, and in 1 month I really broke the ice with acro, like with very technical thing like tumbling, misty flip, twisted misty, ellie to ellie, things like that. And I think it's going to go fast. Doing D-bag and stuff, because I can really... I think it's... I'm not scared. I kind of have a good feeling about things, and I think that... how to say that in a way that... I can really see how it's gonna happen before it does, you know. So I can really focus a lot and think about, okay, that's how it's gonna feel and that's how it's gonna happen and stuff. And so I think my concentration, so like in Nepal, for example, I'll try the one thing for the first time and for the first time do it like psh, good. There's nothing I prefer. I wouldn't say I prefer to fly paragliding than paramotor, because every sport has this thing, you know. Like paragliding for me is more like being in the mountains, freedom, like fly long distance. It's a different game. Paramotor is more close to the ground, traveling. I just love to go with my paramotor, a tent, sleeping bag, and leave from my place, going somewhere in Belgium, sleep there, make a fire, and the next day I come back. I do that once a month. Even in the winter I do it. So I spent the last 2 years in Spain learning a lot with Ramon Morillas. We became very good friends, and he's kind of my mentor, if I can say, like the one who told me things and how to be professional too, because he's been in the thing for a few years. I met Raul too, so it was kind of the best place to be, to get really involved into that. And then we kind of got interested in the same thing. We like to work together, so he invited me to go to Pakistan with him, and we've done different things together. And so from there, the last 2 years I've been flying crazy, like every day almost, flying tandems to make a bit of money, and flying acro, paragliding, paramotor. I got good sponsors. Since the beginning, it's a good thing. I had a gradient since the beginning. I'm still no one, but I was selected for the XSATs, and I called the gradient because I know they sell a lot of glider in Belgium. And from the beginning, he said, "Yeah, okay, we're interested," and they've been following me since then. So they really helped me with gliders, material and stuff. It's great because it's only a call, you know. I went to Pakistan. I called Andres and I said, "Man, I need material." And next week he was there, three gliders. It's really helping a lot. And I hope they're happy with the thing I do. I think they are. And now that I have Red Bull as my main sponsor, but I also have Peak Performance clothing. I have Black Diamond. I have Super. And H&A Paramotor. So all together, when I get material, for example, from Pakistan, when I come back, I can sell the glider, keep another one. I just searching, write articles and papers and stuff. Try to... So yeah, all together I make a small living out of it, and I can survive and enjoy. So it's cool. As long as it works, I'll keep doing that.
Talk about the X-Alps. Yeah. Like, what made you enter the X-Alps? Because you've done it twice now.
Yeah, I've done it twice. First time, it was good. I had a pretty good result in Belgium, in the championship. And I was talking with friends. I saw the DVD. I was following the race. I was really passionate about it. And I said, "Oh, why not? Just give it a try, you know." And they chose me. They chose me, and they, so I got there. I was the youngest one. I was 21 years old. I had no fucking clue. Well, it's not true. I've been, you know, bushing and flying a lot in the mountains and stuff. I would spend all my summer in the mountains. But still, I was there with my heroes, you know, Alex Hofer, Vincent Springley, guys like. I felt very, very small, and I had a crash after 10 days, a pretty bad accident. Ramon was there too, and so I stopped, but the race was good, much better than expected for someone from the flatlands and young as I was. So And the first time you do it, it's to prepare for the second time. So then I had an idea about how it was and how it works and stuff. And so I came back in Belgium, and then I went to Spain for 2 years thinking about the next six up, as I knew how it was. And so I trained a lot with Ramon. My good point was I have a pretty good physical condition, because I was playing in the national team, rugby national team in Belgium for a few years. So I had a good condition and I think a good mental. But my flying level was okay. I could do one surprise one day, like, oh, good flight, cool. But then the next day, bomb out on a very good day. You know, it's just like, but now I've been flying a lot and more and more and more. And I think my level is better. And last time was good. Last summer was good, but we didn't have good conditions. I was flying with Julien Wirth, and for 5 days we took the north road, which is not a really good choice. And for 5 days we tried to fly from different places, and every time we would land at the same spot, you know, after 20 kilometers or 30 kilometers, like, just, shit, you know. I know that Krigel would have flown 150 that this the very same day, very same place, but we couldn't. So I've been walking a lot at the last XALP, and I have the record of the guy who walked the most, 670 kilometers in 10 days. So it's an average of almost 70 k's a day. So it's like kind of pushing.
What's the secret to doing well in the XALPs?
Keep moving. Just stay in the race. The secret, I think, is that there is no limit. What I've realized is that you can walk more than expected. You're stronger than expected if you can put your mind into it. And I never thought I was able to walk 50 k a day. And the first day we walked 90 k a day. The last day, I told you, in the last 27 hours, I walked 119 kilometer, 120 kilometer, from Zermatt to Chamonix. So you see it on the map of Europe. He's walking, running even some part. And it was the last day. It was after 10 days of. So I think the secret to do well is first to fly well, to be a good pilot, have a little bit of luck, be at the right place at the right moment, and not make mistake. And you know, it's always the same thing we repeat about Krigel. This is incredible. He never makes mistakes. This is what we say in all the competition. It's like when he was in the comps, people would just follow him because we know he's good. You know, it's not gonna make mistake. And that's the thing he did. He didn't make mistake. Not even one, I think, really. He was really well prepared, and he took the good decision at the right moment. And most of the time, I would just think after a day, you know, oh shit, if I had done that, or that was just a bad option. And the other thing is that if you know the place, you know, they're from Switzerland. If I take them in Belgium, I can probably fly. We should do a cross-Belgium thing, you know, but because I know the place, you know. And some mountains, you know, you're flying and it looks perfect. It looks totally logical to do that. But when you look at the track of Krigel, he flies around and you're like, why does he do that? It's just because he knows it's not working. It looks perfect, but it's not working there. And he knows that because he's been there five times. And there at the same place, you'll just cross and go and bomb out and that's it. He flies 100K, you fly 40. You know, it's just... So he knows the place, he's good. And that's why you've got French and Swiss pilots in the top five all the time. But now, you can still, I think, yeah, top 10 was, I got into top 10 this time because I was lucky that some people made mistake. They went into airspace, accidents and things like that. So I got, at some point in the race, it was like 15 most of the time or 16 or something. At some point in the race with Julien Wirth, with the French guy. Where every day someone would be cut off the race because he had an accident or something. So we were like, I remember one night we were eating pizza, if today we fly there, we eat pizza or something, things like that, gives you motivation. And I was just telling, he was saying, man, we just sit here and stay alive and we will come from 16 to 10 maybe. And that's what happened. We stayed alive, you know, and kept on moving, and people were cutting off the race. One after the other. So.
How much does the position of other people affect you in the race? You're watching them all the time.
Yeah, you're watching them all the time. You're watching what they do. The funny thing is that all the pilots, you know, there's a very friendly relation between the pilots. It's very nice. It's, the spirit is amazing. It's not like in the big competitions where people are like, you took my thermal or whatever, you know. Like, there it's really all about, we all try to go to Monaco, we share information, and since I'm not from the Alps, I always give all my information. So even sometimes I was calling people and say, how was the wind up there? You know, I know you took off 2 hours ago. How was the wind? How is it? And I help him, and the next day he will help me, you know. And so, but you always look, you know, and there's some people you want to get. Yeah, you know, like the Italian, I wanted to get, you know, I don't know why. But, and so you always, but it's nice. I mean, sometimes you see, for example, Julien Wirtz, at some point he waited for me because he knows that walking 80 kilometers a day is easier if you're two, you know. So he was 4 kilometers ahead and he waited for me, and okay, let's do this together. We have to walk 80k if we want to fly tomorrow on a good place. Let's go. And so we talk about something else, and it's great spirit. It's nice. Even if he's a shy guy, you know, it doesn't speak too much and stuff, he's very good. I mean, he's amazing. He's I think one of the guys from the XL said he was a flying genius, and that's totally true. You can tell, and he's taking a lot of risk, but he controls it. You know, you don't know where is the limit exactly, because he takes off in clouds, he flies very near to thunderstorms, in strong winds. You know, the day he flew down to Monaco, he was very strong wind. Even some French competition got cancelled because he was in good conditions, and he flew 100k or something. So you're like, where is the limit? But he's just amazing pilot, and I think as he's a good acro pilot too, he feels really safe, because when you're a good acro pilot, it's like Paltakas. Paltakas is a great pilot too, and when you see him flying, you know he can go anywhere. If he has a little bit of altitude, he'll sort it out. If he has a cravat or a big collapse or something, he'll sort it out, no problem for him. And keep it quiet and like, boom, boom, even with a comp-later.
Have you had any bad experiences flying acro?
Bad experiences?
Yeah, have you thrown your rescue or been injured?
No. I think actually acro is pretty safe if you do it the right way. You know?
And what's the right way?
My philosophy is step by step, you know, really. If I don't have it clear in my head, like if I don't know exactly what's going to happen, or if I don't have a good feeling, or I just don't try it, you know, till I have this feeling that says, okay, you know exactly how to do it and how to react if it goes wrong. And, well, it's all about trying in a safe place, you know, first, with people who know what to do and can tell you and give you feedback, but above water, with a life jacket and a boat, and that's the basic. Once you broke the ice a little bit and you know, okay, I know how to do a misty flip now, I can master it. No worries, you can try it above ground, but with altitude. One thing I just don't understand is, and I see that most of the time with acro, all the accidents are stupid. It's always mistake and stupid mistake, but most of the time it's because someone made something new, like, okay, he's like, yeah, so cool, and then comes down to the ground on a dead spiral and crash. I saw it twice in Pokhara when I was there in 1 month. That's just, the ground is the ground. You know, you cannot hurt yourself in the air, you know. You're not going to hurt yourself in the air, but the ground is, I mean, that's what we say, the last centimeter that hurts when you fall down, you know. And that's it. Fly high and trade and safe, you know, with good reserve, and that's all. Because it's dangerous, but I would say it's acro, if it's done the right way, it's not as dangerous as cross-country. If you fly in the mountains, close to the mountains, in strong winds and stuff. I've had much bad situation, like when I was in Pakistan and stuff, when it's very strong and you're like, oh shit. If you have a cravat, okay, you stole the glider, but you're still going down, you still have the reserve and you're far away from the mountain. But if you have a cravat at 10 meters from a big wall, kind of in a bad
position. Talk about Pakistan then. You were there predominantly as a paraglider pilot or a paramotor pilot?
Both. I would have liked to fly more paraglider, that's the truth. But we were there with a TV program, a Spanish TV program, to do the altitude world record, paramotor altitude world record, with Ramon Marias, who is more involved in paramotor. And so we flew paramotor most of the time. And I was very frustrated at some point, just to see the cloud and think, band. And even at some point, to be honest, I thought that it was easier to go higher without the mantra than with the mantra, because you got this big thing, you know, and you don't have good feelings. The glider was a DHV-1.2, a good glider, but so I could go in the thermals with the paramotra, but it was not the same. And I'm sure I would have gone higher with the paraglider than the paramotra, actually.
How did you feel about the altitude?
Well, it's cold, but it's cold and there is no air. So you have to make sure that the oxygen system works. But it's a good feeling. As high as I am, I feel... If I'm high, I feel safe, you know. So it was good. And the view is just amazing. I mean, Pakistan, is, as I was telling the guys there, at 6,500 meters above the next to the Mashobom, you could see the Nanga Parbat at 150 k's away. You could see K2, you could see the Gundagoro Glacier. You can see so far, and the sky is super dark, you know. Like, but you know, you've been climbing and stuff and in the mountains, but it's a good feeling. It's a very good feeling. It's amazing. And yeah, having a motor there is kind of a... I like to be with my glider, you know, like only with light harness and stuff. When we flew paraglider, it was just so good. You can fly long distance, because when you leave a thermal at 6,500, it flies so fast because the air is really thin. So you fly at 55 k's per hour, you know, but with a good glide, and just like three mountains moving, and it's just so good. And the conditions are great. I mean, that's a bit classical to say that, but yeah, Pakistan is what Alaska is for skiers and Hawaii for surfers. You know, it's for paragliders. It's just the place. It's amazing, the conditions there. But the only thing is that you cannot mess around, because if you have an accident, if you break a foot, you fucked. That's it. I mean, we had a big team and everything, but. It's not like flying in Chamonix and, if I crash, I know that they're professional. They will come in 10 minutes and 32 seconds, get me into a helicopter. I'll be in Albertville 20 minutes later and safe, and they take care of me and everything. You crash in Pakistan and it can take 3 or 4 days to get to you. Even on the small flight, you know, you fly 40 Ks, and if you have a problem and land on the glacier, what do you do? I mean... Or if you fly, most of the time we're flying very close to the mountains, 6,000 meters, 6,200, 300, you know, to soar. But you think, okay, the air was calm and he was safe, he felt safe actually. But if you do have a collapse and crash in the snow, it's 3 meters snow, you know, it's just like, and then what? And the helicopter won't get you. So you fucked, I mean. So you have to keep that in mind, because the thing is, if you stay for a long time, like 1 month, you kind of every day feel safer. The first day you're like, oh, it's too big. First day really felt like that. I arrived first day, put my tent on the base camp in Nanga Parbat, next to the Nanga at 4,200. And I put my tent, I'm like looking at the mountain, and then huge avalanche goes down. And I'm like, is that a sign or something? Like, you know, you kind of get very close to nature, you know, when you're in those places, and it feels so big, you know. And I read lots of books about climbing stories like that went wrong, you know, and how people got out of it and stuff, to kind of get inspired about how people do in that kind of situations, you know, be prepared. And it was like seeing those mountains and I was feeling something wrong is gonna happen if I miss around, you know, if I just... So a lot of respect for the mountains, a big lesson of humility, you know, to be there and like take it easy. It's as we say, you know, the mountain is not mean, but it's just dangerous. And if you don't know it, or if you don't respect that, then a very small mistake will kill you. And I'm not exaggerating, it's not exaggeration. How do you say? Exaggeration? I don't know. Whatever.
Exaggeration.
You know? Exaggeration. It's just the way it is. So pilots like Brad Sanders and stuff, they fly with a lot of respect too, at with good level. We say to people, yeah, it's good condition. And it is good conditions. You can fly long distance and stuff, but if you make a small mistake, you just pay the price. It's a high price. So it was great to be there, and kind of every flight you kind of put your life on the table and say, okay, here it is. I get it back if I don't miss around. But it's on the table, you know. So keep that in mind and okay, fly and enjoy and everything. And you do enjoy. I mean, I was not scared. After a few days, just okay, I got it, I got the find. It's not so dangerous, it's just flying high. But always look at the oxygen system. It's super cold too. Sometimes with no wind, it was down to 20 degrees below zero, 30 degrees, it's freezing cold. And we had gloves with batteries, you know. But it lasts 1 hour and a half, just the time to get you at 6,700. So you get at 6,000, and then you're like, fuck, it feels cold. And in 10 minutes, you really got your hands, they're dead, you know, blue. So yeah, it's a good thing about flying there, it's that you have to take care of every single detail, and that's how you can make it. If you, and that's where Ramon is amazing, because Ramon even is Spanish, and usually Spanish don't take care of details, but Ramon does. I mean, he's really so into every single detail, and how can we do, and how can we try. And so for like the last 6 months, we've been flying in Sierra Nevada, picking the coldest day. Just okay, today is very cold, let's go. We fly early in the morning, and with the glove, without glove, with the oxygen system, okay, how it goes, if I close this, if I do that, and flying. And then we flew the whole length of the X-Alps, before the X-Alps by Parameter. We took the Parameter to Salzburg and went all the way to Monaco in many days, you know, just to see the road, take pictures and stuff. And it was more than... It was to prepare the X-Alps, but more than that, it was to prepare for Pakistan. Mm. Flying a lot with heavy motors, because it's heavy, and all the gears, and you're like this, you know, you've got big jackets and stuff. And so yeah, flying as much as possible, and you have to get prepared. And I think if you're not a professional pilot, or if you don't have the time to spend so much time on this, you cannot really make it. I mean, you can go up to Pakistan and fly for 2-3 weeks, and you'll have great flights, but things like Raman did fly at 7,800. It's there, every detail counts, and the small mistake is a big mistake. So it was very good. It was the same system that Brad Sanders uses. And normally we were supposed to get another one, a mask. You know, it will be the best, I guess, because it cannot fall down, or and you don't use as much oxygen. But no, actually you use more oxygen with a mask, because if you have it in the nose, you can breathe with your mouth, and when you need it, just with your nose. But we choose the tube thing, and it works perfect. It's very nice. It's good. And you can refill in Pakistan. It's easy to refill. You go to a garage or something, you know, where they have a big tank of oxygen, and you connect it, and you refill it. So we could refill easily in Pakistan. It's pretty light, it's that big, and I think it's called, I don't remember now, the bottle, but anyway, it's made for that, for alpinism, high mountain climbing. And it's a good system. I don't think it can go wrong, I mean, but if it does, you have to be. I was always, you hear it actually, when you breathe, it goes there, gives you a shot of oxygen, and you have a different. You can fix it to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different level. So at 5 you get a lot of oxygen, and 1 you just get a little bit. So that's perfect. That's worked.
How do you feel about people like Sylvester are flying without oxygen at those altitudes?
Well, I did, and I had problems. So when I did, I don't know if you remember on the article, but what happened to me is I went to 6,700, and I almost lost consciousness, because that day we saw the sky, and so I thought, oh look, it looks like a normal day, it's not going to be any good, there's no clouds and stuff, let's go and fly. But we are strong, because we've been in the X-Alps, we've been here for 1 month and stuff, and we crossed the line. And that's it's always the same story. You feel safe.
And you're flying without a system.
And that day we flew without oxygen, because we had to walk to climb to the takeoff 2 hours, and 3 kilos, maybe not, and it's on in your harness, you know, and so you're like, well, just fucking, you know. We're gonna be okay, and you're not gonna be okay, and that's the thing. Okay, you can. Guys like Brad Sanders, he flew to 7,750. Okay, he's used to it and stuff. But if one day you're a bit tired, you didn't eat well, you're a bit sick, something, you don't know. And I thought I was gonna feel it come to you. I really thought, wow, you go down, you feel weak, and you go up. You feel weak, you just go down. You have time, but you don't. I was flying, and I felt good, but we went up from 3,600 meters to 6,600 meters in 10 minutes. This is a very strong thermal. If you see the GPS track, and you enjoy it, and you're like, wow, good day, perfect, 6,500, wow, let's go to 7,000, we can make it. You know, people go to the Everest, but in fact, man, they stay 1 month at 5,000 meters, and then 3 weeks at 6,000, and it was a big mistake, and there, that's what I was saying, small mistake or too much confidence can kill you. And so I'd say that people really, if they go to Pakistan, just use oxygen, because you feel like, oh, no, it's the oxygen, yeah. You don't feel like, and you don't feel the difference. You breathe like normal, you know. It's not like if the air was not consistent or anything. You just breathe, and at some point, and you can die. So I'd say people, it's better to use the oxygen. It can save your life. I mean, it's a...
What about, let's talk about paramotor acrobatics, because you're involved in kind of the development of that aspect of the sport. Where are we up to, and where are we going with it?
Well, I think it's not going to be something like that would change the sport or anything, because not many people would do that. You see that paramotor pilots, most of them only fly paramotor. They don't fly paraglider. And acro comes from paraglider. And I wouldn't start acro with paramotor for the first time, you know, without having tried with paraglider. So I think it's only for a small group of people, like maybe Raul, Ramon. I've heard that Paltakas and Gabor Kessy want to get involved into acro with paramotor. They're amazing acro pilots, so it's easy for them. So they get a motor and they just do it. The only problem now is that the frame doesn't resist, you know, because we've been doing light and light and lighter and lighter and lighter, because people are complaining it's too heavy, but lighter means weaker. It's perfect if you flee, but it doesn't always mean weaker, but it's perfect if you fly like this. It's made to fly in straight line and enjoy, you know, it's not made to. So when I've done my first tumbling with the paramotor last year, it's just, wow, super happy and stuff, and then, yeah, and it doesn't feel right. And then I got the two arms bended like this, the frame bending like that, and that's normal. I mean, it's not because the frame is not a good quality or anything, but it's just put 6G into it. With all this weight.
So really, we need titanium frames.
So now we are with Achene, preparing a frame that will resist, with a friend of mine who is an engineer in resistance, material resistance. And even if it weighs 2 kilos more, no worries. I don't give a shit. I want the frame to hold. And so my first, I would like to be, I'm not going to say a pioneer or anything, but what I would like to do is to keep on flying a lot of acro with paragliding and get those maneuvers inside the paramotor wall. So start with helicopters, which is not very strong G-force. Try to get helicopter on a paramotor. Then maybe misty flip, but misty is kind of... Because if you get twisted, you're done. So tumbling is easy. Dynamic set is easy. Of course, looping, wing overs, all of that is pretty easy. Dynamic stall would be pretty easy, I think. So now I'm waiting for this frame, and I'll get above 2,000 meter above a place next to my house. There is a lake, 2,000 meter. I ask a friend of mine to stay in the water or something, and yeah, it's gonna look good on the TV. And two reserve, one in my back, one in the front, to try it. And so what I would like to do is get more. Yeah, but I don't think this is something.
Where are you trying to go with this?
Well, first of all, for demo, you know, like for Red Bull, for example, it's nice, you know, if I can do that above festivals to bring something different and something new, a new way to play with a paramotor instead of just flying around. I love to fly around and close to the ground and stuff, but you can do different things. You can do more. And so where can we go? I don't know, but it's like those guys who start, you know, jumping with a bicycle, you know, and do flips and stuff, and then they put it on a motorcycle, a motorbike. It's the same story. I'd like to do, and maybe you can use the motor to do different things, you know. Use the energy of the motor to do maneuvers that don't even exist. That would be great. I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I would try. So that's the idea, and most of all, enjoy. I just really like to... it's a great feeling to be, you know... To do exactly what you want with the glider, you know, to be able to feel that you're able to. Okay, I would like to do that, and then you push it, goes, it works, great. Okay, where is the next step? You know, what more can we do? Open doors, you know, just open. This year I'd like to do a lot of acro, paragliding, get more involved into debug from helicopter, from balloon and stuff like that, pictures still. And yeah, maybe spend 2 or 3 months in Organia when it's good. I was talking with Raul about that, and I think we will all meet there and fly and enjoy. So yeah, mainly that. And we have this project with Ramon to go around the K2. And he told me that if he would go, I was invited to go with him and join him for the adventure. So if it works, it's perfect. It'll be two different things, actually, because we've been talking about it yesterday. Actually, it's brand new, but it'll be fly 500 kilometer, a bivouac flight in the Himalayas in Pakistan, to get to the entrance of the Gondogoro Glacier, and then either fly it with a paraglider. Be the first to land at base camp of K2 with paraglider, that'd be amazing, or fly with paramotor, and then from there go around K2, as I told you the other day. So it's many different things, but mainly it'd be 40 days, 1 month or 2 months in Pakistan, flying paragliding and paramotor. We both were a little bit, we were super happy about the trip last time. It was an amazing adventure and stuff, but we both felt like a bit frustrated. Oh, that's, we would have liked to fly more, you know, like a paraglider. So if I can go back there, maybe fly with Brad, I'd like to meet him and fly with this guy, because he's an amazing pilot too, and he looks like an amazing guy. So that's one thing. And the other one is something I will propose to my sponsor pretty soon, is to cross the Pyrenees walking and flying by myself alone. I'd like to do... It's kind of... you know, when you are a young pilot, I'm not as young as I was 3 years ago, but you kind of follow the people all the time, you know, like, and I still follow Ramon, and I follow Raul, and still, but at some point you want to get your autonomy, yeah? You know what I mean, and that's kind of what I would like to do, to enter this kind of, I'm tired of following people when I'm doing the X-Alps and do the move they did 2 days ago, you know, just go by myself there, get lost, take all the time I need, you know, take my time, and enjoy nature. You just be there, sleep in my glider, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, I don't mind, you know, just, it's not a race. But so that's one thing I really like to do. And fly paramotor the same fashion, with kind of what I said, take off from my house, because there are 3 good days, I go land somewhere, sleep there, come back, you know, just get, try to do what I like as much as possible. If I can follow, do that and make a bit of money. I mean, enough money to keep on doing that. It's just what's, yeah, how my year. And most of it, of all, is keep on growing in every aspect. It's be cross country flying, preparing the exam board in 2 years. It'd be acro flying, it'd be paramotor flying, it'd be anything. The thing that flies with paraglider,